Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hey, I'm Dr. McClung, and this is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. Now, today, first of all, Happy New Year. I know it's been a month, but I'm going to say it one more time. Today's show is going to be slightly different. I will, of course, speak to an author in the first segment. However, in the second segment, I'm going to be telling you a long story, a story that highlights many great traits of being a magnificent human being. In the third segment, I will describe why this story is an inspiration, and it may not be what you think it is. In the fourth segment, I will tell you why this story has become your spiritual homework for this month. We're going to be talking about the divine today. In fact, the author we're going to be speaking with very shortly wrote a book called If God Is Love, Why Do I Feel So Bad? Considering Our Images of God. Now, in my book, The Heart of the Matter, I talk about the divine when talking about how you are loved and valued by the loving universe. I included questions to ask yourself about what you think about the divine and where you picked up these beliefs to begin with, and have you changed any of them since you were a kid. Beliefs are key to how we create our reality. And the more we know what we believe, the more we can change them to become more loving, expansive beliefs versus negative, constricting ones. But first, we are going to be speaking with Marcia Fleshman, who wrote the book, If God Is Love, Why Do I Feel So Bad? Marcia has been a pastor of Broadway, a vibrant congregation in Kansas City, Missouri, for 30 years, and as a volunteer for the first 10 years before that. Marcia served on the panel of American women who formed panels of women of different races and religions who shared their personal stories to help sensitize people to racial and religious harm. I think that should be something she should be very proud about. She served as a co-director before entering the ministry. She's also written three other books. Welcome, Marcia.
Hi, Joffrey. Good to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. I'm going to start the way I start every interview. Where were you born, and what did you dream of becoming when you grew up?
Well, I was born in Kansas City, Missouri, lived and then moved to a small town, Lexington, Missouri, which I consider my hometown, and I attended a church. My mother took us to church all the time, and from there...
What did you dream of becoming when you grew up, though? That was the question.
Yes, I heard a missionary talk, and that's what I used to dream of being, was a missionary.
Oh, wow. So you stuck to your original dream. Most people kind of, you know, they tweak it a bit, but you stuck to it. That's fantastic. So
yes,
you were raised in Missouri. What were your parents like?
Well, my mother was a homemaker. My dad was a surgeon. I would say they were very postmodern people. They believed in science, were kind of looking for God. My dad just thought there was a supreme intelligence, but there was no real personal relationship with God for them. They were looking, but they didn't find what they thought they were looking for. It was more about an intellectual exercise of thinking about God for them.
But they obviously gave you great gifts. I mean, the fact you worked so hard to sensitize people to racial and religious harm definitely has to come from your folks. What were their main gifts they gave you when you were growing up?
Well, my mom was our Girl Scout leader and taught us so much about the universe, stars and trees and birds, all flowers, all those things, and we went camping. She was very active and a lot of fun to be with. And my dad was a very serious person, worked a lot, was under a lot of stress, but he was very supportive of anything. I was one of three girls and very supportive of anything we wanted to do.
Oh, okay, so you had two sisters as well. All right,
yeah.
Well, so religion did not play a big life in your big role in your life as a child?
I wouldn't say so. I would say it was mainly Sunday morning and youth group and Sunday evening. That was about it.
Well, that's pretty good. That's better than most people do these days.
Well, that's true.
You went Sunday morning and Sunday evening. I think that's pretty good. Now, were you a Catholic to begin with?
A what? Catholic?
Were you a Catholic
no,
to begin with?
I grew up in a Presbyterian church. And I was going to say, I did take a communicants class in fifth grade where we studied every Saturday for a year to learn the catechism, the Westminster Catechism, and to...
Oh, that's, I heard the word catechism, and I took it as Catholicism.
Yeah.
But,
no,
all right.
So, Presbyterians have
so you were
it, too.
You were raised Presbyterian,
so
and you were open to God as a kid, right?
Oh, in fact, in fifth grade, I started wondering what else there was, because I didn't think just going to church on Sunday was what it was all about, and I wanted to find out what it was really about. So I started really looking in fifth grade.
Well, you obviously came into this lifetime prepared to do exactly what you're doing, since you said
yeah.
That's what you wanted to grow up to be. So I think you're on the right path on that front. Well, you know, obviously you're very open-minded. What got you starting to work with these women and creating those panels to sensitize people to racial and religious harm? That is pretty darn cool.
Well, it was. I took a circuitous route. I majored in French so I could live in France my junior year in college and study and have an adventure, which I did. And then I wanted to be a guidance counselor. I got my first master's degree in counseling after college, and then I got a job teaching French and counseling in a little bitty town in southeast Missouri, and that's where I changed my mind about social justice issues. I saw a whole lot of prejudice against African Americans, and it was disturbing. Then I moved to Kansas
mm-hmm.
City, and my sister worked with the group Panel of American Women, and they tried to present panels for people to hear how painful prejudice was to people who were Jewish, Hispanic, or African American.
Who were different than how they looked. Exactly right. I think you should
yeah.
really be very proud of the work you did on that. I did the same thing in Texas. I did not start a panel. I was just a kid, but I was appalled by the prejudice that I saw in Texas.
Yeah.
In fact, I left Texas to go to New York to get away from it. But I think you should be very proud of the work you did on that.
Well, it was good. It was started, the panel was started by a woman, a Jewish woman who had a black maid, and they instigated, from what I understand, the Topeka versus the Board of Education primary law about integration in schools. But the woman involved in that started the Panel of American Women to do more to confront racism and religious prejudice. So it was
well, we're really proud of you
women.
Doing that, I have to tell
Thank
you.
You.
When
Thank
I
you.
Read that in your bio, I shut up. Yay! All right,
yeah,
now, really,
yeah.
We're going to get to your book very shortly, but I want to ask you about your double lung transplant. How does that
yeah.
impact you physically as well as spiritually?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I took some bad medicine. I took Fen-Phen, the diet medication, and it gave me a fatal disease, which they withheld that information from the general public. And so I was diagnosed, it was primary pulmonary hypertension that I had. And when I was diagnosed, it was very grim. There wasn't much to do about it. And so I just, at that point, the doctor said, you're going to die. Get your affairs in order. And they found a man.
How old were
Kansas,
you, if you don't mind me asking?
48.
48. All right. Well, you're too young to die at 48. Go ahead. So they told
yeah.
you were going to die.
Yes, and of course it was a spiritual challenge. I was well connected with God by that time and the experience of God, but it was so scary to think that I was just going to die and how I felt. Well, I got on a medication that was pumped directly into my heart, and I wore that pump for 5.5 years Every 30 seconds it pumped, and it was a brutal medication, but it kept me alive until transplant. But I was pretty well on the way out by the time I got the transplant.
Well, I'm awfully glad the transplant worked and that you spiritually held on to God during this time. I just think it's fantastic. All right, so let's get to your book now.
Go ahead. Let me say something else about the transplant. It was really hard. I'm a mystical Christian, and I have friends, and we hear God speaking to us, and many people told me I was going to be okay, and I could not believe it. I just could not believe it. And when I woke up from the surgery after a five-day coma, induced coma, and I was alive, then I believed. It was a big challenge, but it was hard to believe until I had the proof that I'd be alive after surgery. So that's a big piece of what happened. And then in the recovery process, a volunteer worked with us to do painting. And I'd always wanted to paint. My mom had been a painter. She did toll painting, and I never had time. But I had time while I was recovering from my surgery. I had had to move to St. Louis, 4 hours away, to wait for my transplant and then to recover. And so that was a big part of my book, is I started painting, and I started illustrating and writing books. So that happened all after my surgery.
Well, you were supposed to be on this planet doing exactly what you're doing. So bravo on that. All right, so you wrote the book, If God Is Love, Why Do I Feel So Bad? Let me ask you something. I love the fact you go through all the different, we're going to talk about that in a second, all the different versions of God. But let me ask you this. Do you see God as a man? Because I don't, but a lot of people do. Do you see him as a man? And tell us a little bit about the story of the lost coin.
The lost coin. Well, actually, I don't think God is, I think God represents the essence of masculinity and femininity. And a lot of people have a need to see God as feminine, which I believe God presents self as both masculine and feminine. It's a big part of my book. The story of the lost coin is one that Jesus told, and it's about a woman who lost a coin, and she searched the house and cleaned top to bottom. She called in the neighbors. They couldn't find it. Finally, she found it, and everybody came and had a big party and celebrated. But the gist of the story is that God is the woman looking for the lost coin. It's similar to the lost sheep story and the lost son story, but the impact is that God is feminine in that story, and Jesus tells that
story. I love that story. I love that you included that story. I love that story. I say God is all it is. That's what I say. Cover it all. But I don't like to leave anybody out. I think it's a big consciousness. I don't think we can even comprehend. But now, you
exactly
talk a lot about Jesus in the book because you are a pastor. Have you studied Muhammad, Krishna, Buddha, any of those great masters? They all talk about their relationship to the higher power as well.
No, I haven't studied them, but I'm at an integral stage of Christianity now. I'm part of Integral Christian Network, which is a Zoom community of mystical Christians, and I'm open to all paths. There are many paths to God, and so I affirm all paths. And I just happen have grown up in my tradition. It works for me, and that's what I talk about.
Well, it made you a pastor, so it definitely works for you.
Yeah.
But I did study Buddha and a little bit of Muhammad, not as much as I should have, but I think they all are saying the same thing. That's the truth of the matter.
I think the goal is connection with God.
I mean, we're all saying the same thing. Now, you were so loving in your book and so open-minded, which is very different than the evangelical movement that's running rampant across the United States.
Yeah.
A lot of people say that Jesus died for our sins. How do you take that? Because that's not my take on it, but how do you take that?
It's not my take anymore. My co-pastor was Paul Smith, and he wrote a book called Integral Christianity, The Spirit's Call to Evolve. And he describes growth stages in spirituality, just like we grow physically in stages and emotionally in stages, well, we also grow spiritually in stages. And so there's a stage called the traditional stage that tends to hold those kind of evangelical ideas. And that, and before the traditional stage is the warrior stage, where people use their religion like a war cry. And then there's the traditional stage, then you move into postmodern, where people incorporate science, and some people tend to believe science is the whole answer. But in integral Christianity, we start to consider God as consciousness, just what you said, and
yes.
the mystery yes. of God. And so I can't hold to this is the only way. What I kind of think, this is what I kind of think, is that Jesus was saying not that I am the only way, but this is the way you do it. This way
yeah.
that I'm doing
yeah. oh,
this
I totally
is the way
agree
you
with
do
you.
It.
I agree with you on everything, Marcia.
Okay.
I could
yeah.
not agree with you more. You talk in your book about the different versions of God, the old man in the sky with a long white beard, which is in
yeah.
a lot of religious paintings, or the angry God in the sky, I will burn you down
yeah.
if you, you know, I'll turn you to assault.
I'll throw a lightning bolt at you if
light.
You do the wrong
yeah.
thing. Yeah.
Oh, that's what is your version of God? I think you've already said it, but it's basically a consciousness. Is that correct?
Yes, it is consciousness. And the Bible says that God is neither male or female. God is spirit. And
yeah,
I understand.
Some people don't believe that. They say it's a man. It's a man. It's like, oh, my gosh.
Well, and that's the stage they're in, that they have more concrete thinking, so they need a more concrete image of God as a person. And God isn't a
mm-hmm.
person, but God is the essence, the spirit. And what I've come to believe is that we're all made of God's spirit, all of us. And some of us
I think that we are divine, pieces of the divine yes. having a human experience.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
I like your book. I think everyone should get this book, especially I think it's a good book for younger people as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to read, very easy to follow.
Good. I like the stories. I love to tell stories about people's interaction with God. But Richard Rohr, who founded the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, writes this statement that our image of God, the one image we hold, creates our life.
Oh,
and
yes.
that's
yes.
why I
that's
think
the next
so
question
vital.
I had. How can
oh,
a new image of the
We're
divine transform a person's life?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Because if we hold God as this angry, punishing God, then we're scared. We're scared about getting punished. And that's actually where I go with, I don't believe there's hell. I think hell is a human concept that the church created.
Well, I used to drive across West Texas to get to the mountains in New Mexico, and when you hit West Texas, you see signs, fear God, he's watching. I'm like, oh, my
yeah, right.
word. How are,
well,
oh,
that's
my
what
gosh.
That whole section I have is about urban legends of God, and it's just the things we pick up from people are like signs like that, or even in the old show, The Golden Girls, Bea Arthur's person always says, God will get you for that. And it's like this
yeah.
doom that hangs over us. And
yeah.
that's
who wants
very
to
damaging.
Worship somebody who's going to get you. Well,
yeah,
you know,
he's going
to get you. People read your book. What's the one idea you hope they can walk away with?
Well, I would invite them to consider that God as this is the essence of God as consciousness, but personal and loving. And to imagine that there is a different dimension of life that is totally about the energy of love, that we're enfolded in love, we're held in love, we're guided by love. That's what I would want people to move toward, is understanding God is the energy of love, but it's the divine love that is totally accepting, totally helping, and totally personal.
Well, I always say God is unconditional love, so how can unconditional love want to punish you? I think we put the Roman gods and the Greek gods onto God, and they're not. God is not the Roman god or the Greek god's going to get us and smite us. It's unconditional love, which takes practice to understand, but it's definitely part of the journey, understanding unconditional love. Well,
yeah.
real quick, we got about a minute and a half. What made you write this book at this time?
I read a book by Dennis Shula and Matthew Lynn called Good Goats, Bad Goats, and Dennis says in the book he realized as his image of God changed, he changed. And in talking to people, I started hearing from what their references were, what they read in the Bible, I understood the image behind it, and I wanted to challenge those images. That's what started me off.
Well, I'm actually got it, made you want to challenge those images, because you wrote a lovely book. We are speaking with Marsha Fleshman, who wrote the book, If God is Love, Why Do I Feel So Bad? Marsha, I think everyone, especially young people, and I'm talking middle school age, should get this book. It really will open your mind and have you look at the world slightly different. Where can people follow you and where can they get the book, Marsha?
They can find the book on Amazon or Thrift Books. And I have a website. It's not terribly active yet, but it's MarshaCFleishman.com. Has my middle initial in there. And that's, they can look
at
it.
Say it one more time. What's the website?
Marsha, M-A-R-C-I-A-C, as in cat, Fleishman, F as in Frank, L-E-I-S-C-H-M-A-N, MarshaCFleishman.com.
Well, everyone should go and check out her website and get this book. It's a lovely book. It's a sweet book, and it's a powerful book. Marsha, thank you so much for writing this book, and thank you for being on the show with me.
Well, thanks for asking me to, Joffrey. Blessings.
Blessings to you. Bye-bye.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
If you want a master class on how laws can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
No matter what is happening on the outside, to make a difference, work on the inside. You are part of the fabric of life. Have a positive impact on yourself and others. Take a break from the dark side. Listen to the positive side of podcasts, hrnradio.com.
Hi, this is Jocelyn McClung on Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. I'm going to be telling you a long story that's going to highlight the magnificence of several human beings. And then in the next segment, I'm going to describe why it inspires us to do, why it basically inspires us. So here's the story. Bill was driving home one evening on a two-lane country road. Work in this small Midwestern community was almost as slow as his beat-up Pontiac, but he never quit looking. Ever since the factory closed, he had been unemployed, and with winter raging on, the chill had finally hit home. It was a lonely road. Not very many people had reason to be on it, unless they were leaving town. Most of his friends had already left. They had families to feed, dreams to fulfill, But Bill stayed on. After all, this was where he buried his mother and father. He was born here, and he knew the country. He could go down this road blind and tell you what was on each side. And with his headlights not working, that came in handy. It was starting to get dark, and light snow flurries were coming down. He'd better get a move on. You know, he almost didn't see the old lady standing on the side of the road. But even in the dim light of day, he could see she needed help. So Bill pulled up in front of her Mercedes and got out. His Pontiac was still sputtering when he approached her. Even with a smile on his face, she was worried. No one had stopped to help her for the last hour or so. Was he going to hurt her? He didn't look safe. He looked poor and hungry. He could see that she was frightened, standing out there in the cold. He knew how she felt. It was that chill that only fear can put in you. He said, "I'm here to help you, ma'am. Why don't you wait in the car where it's warm? Oh, and by the way, my name is Bill." Well, all she had was a flat tire, but for an old lady, that was bad enough. Bill crawled under the car, looking for a place to put the jack, skinning his knuckles a time or two. Soon, he was able to change the tire, but he had to get dirty and his hands hurt. As he was tightening up the lug nut, she rolled down her window and began to talk to him. She told him that she was from St. Louis and was only just passing through. She couldn't thank him enough for coming to her aid. Bill just smiled as he closed her trunk. She asked him how much she owed him. Any amount would have been all right with her. She had already imagined all the awful things that could have happened had he not stopped. Bill never thought twice about the money. This was not a job to him. This was helping someone in need. And God knows there were plenty that had given him a hand in the past. He had lived his whole life that way. It never occurred to him to act any other way. He told her that if she really wanted to pay him back, the next time she saw someone who needed help, she should give that person the assistance that they needed. And Bill added, "And think of me." He waited until she started her car and drove off. It had been cold and a depressing day, but he felt good as he headed for home, disappearing into the twilight. A few miles down the road, the lady saw a small cafe. She went in to grab a bite to eat and take the chill off before she made the last leg of her trip home. It was a dingy-looking restaurant. Outside were two old gas pumps. The whole scene was unfamiliar to her. The cash register was like the telephone of an out-of-work actor. It didn't ring much. Her waitress came over and brought her a clean towel to wipe her wet hair. She had a sweet smile, one that even being on her feet the whole day couldn't erase. The older woman noticed that the waitress was nearly 8 months pregnant, but she never let the strain or the angst change her attitude. The old lady wondered how someone who had so little could be so giving to a stranger. Then she remembered Bill. After the older lady finished her meal and the waitress went to get change for her from her $100 bill, the lady slipped out to the front door. She was gone by the time the waitress came back. She wondered where the lady could be. Then she noticed something written on a napkin. There were tears in her eyes when she read what the lady wrote. It said, "You don't owe me a thing. I've been there too. Someone once helped me out the way I am helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love end with you." Well, the waitress took a deep breath. She noticed there were tables to clear, sugar bowls to fill, people to serve. And the waitress made it through another day. That night, when she got home from work and climbed into bed, she was thinking about the money and what the lady had written. How could she have known how much she and her husband needed it? With a baby due next month, it was going to be hard work. She knew how worried her husband was. As he lay sleeping next to her, she gave him a soft kiss and whispered in a soft, low voice, "Everything's going to be all right. I love you, Bill." We're going to be talking about why this is an inspiration in the next segment. And I will warn you that this may not be the inspiration that you feel it is. But I guarantee you, it is an inspiration that we all need. I'm Jocelyn McClung. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Jocelyn McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
For the best in business class travel, count on Cheapo Air. Cheapo Air has the best price guarantee, 24/7 customer service, and easy booking online or by phone. To experience your hassle-free journey, start by going to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Cheapo Air.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Jocelyn McClung. Following a period of loss through Jocelyn's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Jocelyn's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
Discover the world's largest anti-aging organization, Life Extension. For the best information, vitamins, and supplements, you just can't beat Life Extension. To start extending your life, go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Life Extension banner.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Jocelyn McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Jocelyn, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Jocelyn's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Uplifting talk. HealthyLife.net.
Spiritual Common Sense. There are so many lessons in that story in the previous segment that I want to highlight. Now, the first one is fairly obvious. It is the importance of being a service to another. Bill, in the story, was in service to the older woman who had car problems. He felt the inner need to help her despite it being terribly cold and him being out of work. Every great master on this planet has mentioned that being a service is essential to adding goodness to this world. It not only lifts the person you're servicing, but it lifts your spirits as well. Being a service is one of the quickest ways to get out of depression. Plus, I will add that being a service connects you to your inner peace of the divine that lives within all of us. The second lesson is also quite obvious. It is what you put out will come back to you. Bill did not help the older woman in order to get something. He helped the older woman because it was part of his nature to be of service. What Bill did not know was that the money he needed for his new baby would come back immediately from the service he just did. This is loving synchronicity in action. Loving synchronicity happens when we are following our excitement or our passion moment by moment. Then loving synchronicity floods into our lives. At that moment, Bill's passion was to help the older woman. The older woman's passion was to help the tired and very pregnant woman by leaving her some much needed cash. Little did both know that they were actually helping each other again through loving synchronicity. The third lesson is about faith. Bill, despite being out of work with a pregnant wife, refused to leave the Midwestern community and instead kept looking for work. That is a sign of faith. Faith that good things can still flow to him, even if he keeps moving forward in faith. The older woman discovered her inner faith that she could be helped when she had a car problem. Yes, she was a little frightened of the man in his old Pontiac, but she eventually allowed him to help her with her car issues. She discovered she had faith and allowed the man to help her. And the waitress, Bill's wife, discovered her faith when she received a sum of money that led her to breathe a bit deeper. That does not mean that you're not going to be wobbly when facing challenges, but if you hold a mustard seed of faith, you can allow your life to turn around. So what's this month's inspiration? Is it being of service? Is it about loving synchronicities? Is it about what you put out there will come immediately back to you? Or is it about keeping faith no matter how dark it may look? All of these would be wonderful inspirations, but none of them are. This month's inspiration is to connect to your inner divinity. I think we've all heard the phrase that we're spiritual beings have a human experience. I prefer that we are all pieces of the divine having a human experience. Although many religions have butchered the concept remains the same, that we were made in God's image. And as the great master Jesus said, we will be able to do this and so much more. In other words, we are pieces of the divine having a human experience. When we move out into the world being connected to our inner divinity, it changes the very nature of our existence. And I will add as well, the people around us. Connecting to your inner divinity allows you to discover your grandness. If we are pieces of the divine having a human experience, then we are quite grand, magnificent, stunning, and marvelous in more ways than I can describe. Now, that can be a hard concept to embrace when you look out into the world and see people behaving quite horribly. But it is still the truth. We've just forgotten it. Part of playing this human game is remembering what we have forgotten. Remembering that we are powerful, magnificent beings who are so full of love. That's why this month's inspiration is connecting to your inner divinity. To move out of our negative ego and embrace what lies within all of us. A piece of the divine. To understand that when you connect to your inner divinity, you change not only your energy, but the energy around you. Bill in the story discovered this when he stopped to help the older woman with her car trouble. It is part of his nature. But by connecting to his inner divinity, he also lifted the energy of the older woman. She relaxed and allowed Bill to help her with her car. She moved out of fear into gratitude just by him connecting to his inner divinity. The older woman connected to her inner divinity when she watched the very pregnant waitress moving around the restaurant floor, but still smiling. This caused the older woman to leave the waitress a tremendous tip. The older woman connected to her magnificence. And even though the waitress was very pregnant and extremely uncomfortable, she still greeted all of her customers with a smile. This was the waitress connecting to her inner divinity with kindness. You see, what really happened here is one person impacted two other people just by connecting to his inner divinity. That's what's fantastic. When we touch our inner divinity and move through the world sharing that inner divinity, it spreads like a contagion, touching everyone within range. Do you want to change the world? Then it's time to connect to your inner divinity and allow that divinity to move you through the world, touching as many people as possible. When we touch our inner divinity, we are no longer playing victims. We are no longer blaming others for what's wrong with our life. We no longer feel powerless. When we touch our inner divinity, we become masters. Now, I'm not saying I'm like Jesus, Buddha, Krishna, or Muhammad. They came to this planet fully awake. But that's not to say we will not be masters at some point. And the way to become a master is to connect to your inner divinity. And by doing so, we are stating to the universe that we have faith, that we are grand, magnificent, stunning, and marvelous. And knowing that each time we connect to our inner divinity, we are changing the energy within us and those around us and the entire planet. That's why this month's inspiration is to connect to your inner divinity. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
If you want a master class on how laws can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
If you're not in the U.S., listen up. SureTrader is one of the most trusted and reliable names in share trading. With 6-to-1 leverage and other perks, SureTrade is the best for penny stocks and day trades. To find out more, visit our advertiser page and click on the SureTrader banner.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
Hi, I'm Jocelyn McClung, and this is HealthyLife.net. This month's spiritual homework is connecting to your inner divinity. Now, I just shared a story in the previous segment highlighting how people connected to their inner divinity, which is why I want you to do that this month. So how do we connect to our inner divinity? Well, being of service is one of the ways to connect to your divinity. But I want to make it clear when I say being of service, it does not mean that you put it in your calendar, I'm going to do this today, and then I'm done being of service. Being of service means seeing a situation in front of your face and doing something about it. It can be as small as holding the door open for someone coming through, or perhaps helping someone who's having some issues. I did this recently at the grocery store. I saw a very small woman trying to reach the top shelf, and she couldn't reach it. Frankly, she was just too darn small. Even though I was in a little bit of a bad mood, I had just gotten off work, I decided to walk down the long aisle, reached up to the box that she was trying to grab, and I handed it to her. Needless to say, she was very grateful. But so was I. That very small gesture of getting the box down for the very tiny lady actually lifted my spirits. Being of service aids both people, the one being of service and the one receiving the service. Another way to connect to your inner divinity is to connect to your kindness. Kindness lives in all of us, but many of us have quit being so kind. Especially during these days where bullies seem to be winning. Yelling seems to be the strongest way to get what you want and never apologize for a mistake. Kindness is just left to the side of the road. Kindness cost us nothing. However, kindness, just like being a service, lifts both people. The one receiving the kindness and the one who offers the kindness. I think most of us are not so kind because we have our heads down, staring into our phones, or our minds are racing with 1,000 things we must do each and every day. Kindness is part of our inner divinity, and we need to use it each and every day. So quit staring at your phone and be kind to the person right in front of you. Whether it's wishing somebody to have a great day or helping someone pick up papers maybe they just dropped, kindness is the answer. So maybe you're going to have to train yourself to look up and pay attention to what's around you and to be kind to people, whether it's just with a smile or helping them in any way they may need it. If we are all a bit more kinder, this world would turn on a dime and become one of the most compassionate places in the universe. A third way to connect to your inner divinity is through generosity. That's what the older woman did in the story in the previous segment. She watched the very tired, very pregnant waitress running around the restaurant, but always smiling. She decided to give her a great tip. She didn't even know that the tip would relax the woman the way it did. The older woman, seeing the waitress smile, felt generous towards her and gave her a hefty tip. Now, many of us give money to charities or to a church to help those who are in need. But how many of us stop when someone asks for some change? Or how many of us stop and give money to people who ask for it? I was speaking with a friend at a gym, a very religious friend, when I said I loved giving money in New York to people who asked. It made me feel so good. She scrunched up her face and said, I would never do that. They have no business asking for money. When I asked what she meant by that, she replied, if they're asking for money, they're just lazy. Now, I did not argue with my friend, but it puzzled me. Why, giving money to a church or a charity is okay, but not to a person who's hungry right in front of you, or is in pain or in fear. They just need a little bit of cash to get them through. When I went back to New York the second time, I didn't have enough money for the first 3 months to take the subway to work. So I walked to work every day. It took me about 45 minutes. I walked through Central Park, and there was this single black man who was sitting on a bench. I waved at him one morning, and the next morning I waved again. I eventually found out that he was a homeless vet with a beautiful smile. I talked to him every morning and asked him how he was doing, and he asked me how I was doing. Now, at Christmas, when I got a bonus and a pay raise, I put $20 in an envelope with a thank you card. This time when I walked through the park, I saw him talking to a few homeless men, so I waved him to come over to me. I said, "This is for you for being so kind when I was walking to work every morning." And he said, "It was my pleasure." I told him to open the envelope once I had left. Being able to give that man $20 thrilled me like nobody's business. It was a lot more thrilling than writing a check to charity. The man did open the envelope and yelled very loudly, "Thank you," so I could hear him. I got to see the man smile and appreciate my kindness as I did his. The fourth way to connect to your inner divinity is to connect to your faith. Bill, in the previous story, had faith that he would find a job even though everyone was leaving the small town. Faith is the belief that you're safe and that good things will flow into your life. I had faith when I was walking through Central Park that I would have more money soon flowing into my life. And by Christmas, I did. The older woman in the previous segment had faith that someone would help her with her car, even though she was still a bit frightened. And even a waitress had faith. When she laid down next to Bill to go to sleep, she quietly said, "Everything is going to be okay." If you're lacking in faith, look at what is keeping you from believing that good things are going to flow into your life. These are just four ways you can connect to your inner divinity. There are many other ways. Being of service, being kind to everyone you meet, being generous, and connecting to your faith. So practice that this month. And I will add, your inner divinity wants you to do all of these things for yourself as well. Be of service to yourself if you're falling down. If you're having a rough day, be kind to yourself. And be generous with yourself as well. And most importantly, have faith that good things are going to flow into your life. That's why this month's spiritual homework is to connect to your inner divinity and to change the world by doing so. I'm Jocelyn McClung. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Jocelyn McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Jocelyn McClung. Following a period of loss through Jocelyn's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Jocelyn's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Jocelyn McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Eclectic talk with a positive twist. HealthyLife.net.
Thanks for joining me. I hope you got some inspiration, some information, and some spiritual homework that will move you forward. And please follow me on Facebook or Instagram. Also, check out my website at MySpiritualCommonSense.com. I have great blogs there, and you can read a little bit about my books on my website. I hope I've left you with some things that no longer serve you and picked up some things that celebrate you and who you are becoming. And remember, you are glorious, magnificent, and stunning in the universe's eyes, and have always been and will always be lovable, loving, and loved. Until next time, be the light the world needs and have love for all. This is Joffrey McClung for Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. Have a joyful, loving, self-loving month.